Got to make room for when I get into my calisthenics. Good morning, Rock Bible Church. Apologies for ruining your social hour. Right off the bat, and maybe most important, thank you, VBS crew, like from Megan, Emily, all the way down. I think we heard all their names a minute ago. But I want to reiterate something that's kind of caught my head. Without looking around, those of you who were not part of VBS, do you remember what it was called? It was called VBS, Scott. It was called Vacation Bible School. It was called Camp Rock, Scott. Yes, every year it's called Camp Rock. And the theme this year was Adventure Cruise. Perfect. And I love that because there's this idea, now the week's over, camp's over. The cruise has ended. And yet the adventure has just begun, right? And that's why we're here. And just love seeing the opportunity for kids of all ages getting introduced to the adventure. Because they need a jump start. They need to start early. They need as much help and support. They need an organization like the church that's behind them, right? Because we say it for fun, you know, the adventure has just begun and it's the adventure cruise. When we get older, we say it differently. I think there was a famous song about it. Welcome to the jungle. They're going to need to be prepared for that. And they're going to need a body of believers that supports them and loves them and has proven such over time with good theology and safety and fun. And so what a great opportunity we have to be a church, because that's what we do. When we do a wedding, when we do a funeral, any of those things, Vacation Bible School, we're helping people on the adventure. Because sometimes it gets crazy and they need to know where to turn. And that's why we're here. We're Rock Bible Church. Dare I say, welcome to Rock Bible Church. We are, here it comes on the screen, right? We are a Christ-centered, biblically based, compelling, casual community. And we're compelling ourselves and others to Christ in casual ways that welcome all to worship. Be in a community that serves the greater community. And one of the things I love about Vacation Bible School is it hits all those things. It's Christ-centered. The kids are going to figure that out, right? They know the point. And we use Bible all week. Now, is it compelling? I mean, did you see the video? Yeah. Whose kids compelled?
Yes.
They were having fun, weren't they? Do we do it in such a way that all are invited and welcome and supported, right? And this is how we be a community. And this is how we develop a reputation as a church around the community. And we want that to be a good reputation. Amen. So thank you for that. And very excited to get started now into, we finished our series on Proverbs 3, Trust in the Lord. We're going to have a little fun over the summer. I decided we had some discussions with certain entities and thought, let's do Hebrews right when school starts again. So we're going to hold, I floated that commercial. We're going to get into Hebrews. We're going to do it. We're still going to do it. But we're going to let the brewing start when school starts. Okay. And so for the summer, I thought, well, let's have a little fun. Let's do some parables. So we have a new short summer light series, Summer Parables. Very unique name. And so we're gonna have a little fun with that starting today. And I kind of we're gonna reference some stuff that I referenced last week. We're gonna look into it more deeply this week in Matthew chapter 7. And so that's where we're gonna be this morning, and that's what we're doing over the next couple months. I want to remind you, men's group tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, right out behind the Fellowship Hall. Fire pit. Might not be a fire. It's going to be a little warm. But if it gets too hot, we'll come in here. But if you're interested in that, come see me after or see one of the guys. There's about 14 of them in here already that you can talk to. Let's pray, and then we'll get going. Lord, we thank you for all the ways that you have reached out to us and made an effort. And we have the traditional ones like Scripture, your Spirit. Pray, Lord, that we be reminded of all the subtle ways. The nudge of something learned at a VBS, maybe even for some of us decades ago, that has stuck with us. And pray that you would allow us to experience those things at this church. Help us to be your bride who reaches out to people and draws them in. Thank you especially this morning how you do it through parables and what we're going to look at this morning. Pray, Lord, that in our fun, we would get your heart. We would get you. We're all on the adventure, Lord. And so help us with our next few steps through this passage, through our time, through your Spirit, to the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray it in his name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 All right. This morning is the morning of sevens. Matthew 7, verse 7 through 27. There we go. This is a compilation. Sometimes it feels like a scattered group of little things. It really all goes together. Here's the reason why you can have confidence in that, because it's all quoting Jesus. And last I heard, he was the only authority on unity, right? Whether it be our lives or a passage. And so we're going to look at several different things, and then at the end, we're going to name the church. We're not going to rename the church. We're going to understand how the church got named a little bit. So let's get going. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is speaking. This is a famous, famous section of Scripture. Matthew 5 through 7 is known as the Sermon on the... Okay, so I think I have to stay up here, up on the mount. And 7, we're getting to the end. And 7:1 is one of those, I remember having to memorize this back when I was younger. Judge not, lest ye be judged. Now, you probably pretty much can't find that translation anymore, lest ye be judged, right? You got to really look for that one. But judge not, because in the same way that you are judged, so will you be judged. It's a call to self-reflection. And the stories that follow, the teachings that follow, lend to that, us doing self-evaluation, us looking at ourselves, which means we're yet to look and evaluate who? Someone else. Anybody else, right? Before we call into question God or others, let's call into question self. It's a great exercise, and all of the things play to that and lead up to the man who built his house. Are you sure? Because one of them built his house on the sand. There's two guys, and we're gonna get to them at the end, and we're gonna have a little bit of fun. We might even do grammar. I know it might hurt a little bit, but let's jump in. Jesus gets to this point, you know, judge not, and this whole thing, and then he says, but that could leave you a little bit in a state of quandary. And he says, hey, look, if you need something, if you want something, ask. Many of us have seen this verse before and used it as a memory verse or daily devotional verse. Ask, and it will be given to you. Man, I've loved to try and use that for a lot of things. I would like a new car. I would like a house. I would like a wife. I would like a firstborn son. I mean, ask anything? It doesn't say anything, does it? But it does say ask, and it will be given to you if you memorized it differently like I did, and it shall be given to you. It feels like it's a great sentence, and yet maybe there's some idiosyncrasies missing. Let's see if the next one clears it up. Seek and you will find. Only four words. Seek what? Inquiring minds want to know. And it will be open to you. Knock and it will be open to you. What are we knocking on? I'm pretty sure when you knock, you knock on a... Right? But ever heard anybody talk about knocking on the wall? Right? I'm not sure that those two work. Most of the times I feel like I'm hitting my head against the wall. Right? That is meant to be our relationship with the Lord. The better we understand it, the clearer that it gets. Let's figure this out over the next 18 verses, all right? Verse 9. Or which one of you, are we back to self-evaluation? Okay. Which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Answer? None. I mean, once in a while, Scott, because he likes to play tricks on the kids, but then he gives them the bread, right? Or if he has asked for a fish, we'll give him a serpent. If you then, who are... Wait, what? Now we know why we need to do self-evaluation. If you... A little twisted, a little displaced. We'll avoid the evil word for just a second. If you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Is that a question mark? Is it a question? Let's go back. Can we go back a slide? It feels like a quick. If you then, who are evil, know how to good. How? What's the word how? Isn't how most often a question? I mean, it's not when you say, well, that's how I did it. But you say, how'd you do it? It's definitely a question. We got to figure out which one it is. All right, next slide. How much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now, the English Standard Version translation that we're using this morning, that many of you use, okay, it failed to use a question mark. What's the implication? If they use an exclamation point, they're emphasizing this was never a question. If it's not a question, it's a statement or an observation, right? It's a claim, it's a testimony, starts with T and ends with Ruth. It's a truth. I love this. Maybe we're seeing Jesus fail to ask a question about a truth. Rather than questioning the truth, he just states it. Hey, this is how God is. Self-evaluate. Because the thing that's missing in this equation, I mean, if that's not the question, then is there a question? Yeah. Have you asked? Isn't that where we're supposed to land? Now I'm back in the asking, you shall receive, seek, and you shall find, knock, and shall be open to you. And I'm like, oh, yeah, but it didn't say what to seek, what to ask for. What am I knocking on? I know at least something about God. Two times use the same word. Use it about things, use it about gifts. What's the word? Good. We're getting a picture of who he is. So, whatever you wish that others would do to you, we referenced this last week, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Whoa, the law and the prophets is... I have to do for Judy the way I would want Judy to do for me. Well, how many different ways can that play out? Way more than there are laws. I have a lot more thoughts about how I want to be treated than there are laws in the Old Testament. Have you figured that out for yourself? You have more preferences than the Bible. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Okay, because now we're back to asking the question, what am I asking, what am I seeking, what am I knocking on? Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is, it's easy, that leads to destruction, and those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. He just paired those things together. He said, wait, there's these gates. You better self-evaluate. Because the way you treat people is meant to be about how you think. How are you treating others the way you think? You could be on the wrong road, walking through the wrong gate. Oh, remember it said ask, seek, and knock? I made a joke, we knock on doors, we knock on walls, maybe simply hit our head against the wall. What could we be knocking on? I just said it. Gate. Which gate are you knocking on? Here's some more self-evaluation. Verse 15, beware of false prophets. Apparently they exist. Who come to you in sheep's clothing, they look safe, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. They're for your demise, to their benefit. You'll recognize them by their fruits. Wait, so are we allowed to call false prophets fruits? I mean, that could be a little fun, right? I'm not listening to him. He's a fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? Say no. Are figs from thistles? No. So, every healthy tree, verse 17, bears good fruit. Did we just hear that good word again? But the diseased tree bears bad fruit. If you're in the wrong gate, maybe asking for the wrong thing, seeking the wrong things, knocking on the wrong things, it just called you diseased. I know I've been diseased at times. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit. Again, statement, not a question. Nor can a diseased tree bear, what kind of fruit? Good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Ooh. Don't like. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. I thought we were doing self-evaluation. What's with the them? Well, it's rhetorical, Scott. I mean, yes, we're talking about them, the trees, and those who do this and the good and the bad. And all that rhetorical was meant to make you look back and work on self, right? I crack up sometimes because people will say, well, you know, I'm just evaluating them based on their fruits. All they produce is kumquats. It's like, really? Because I think you may have mistaken that passage. Because how does chapter 7 begin again? I mentioned it. We have yet to read it. But what are you supposed to avoid? Judgment. You're the only time you're allowed to judge? Wait, is this a trick question, Scott? Why, yes, it is. And thank you for knowing me so well. When's the one time you're allowed to judge? In the mirror. Still learning that one. Anybody else? Don't raise your hand. Thus you will recognize them by your fruits, which really means thus you will recognize yourself by how you act, how you treat them. Is it the way you want to be treated? Which gate did you knock on? What path are you on? And is it easy because you're getting what you want? Or is it difficult because others are getting what they want? What's the user experience? I love that. Generally, I have a problem with the tech industry. So complicated. Apparently, they do things like coding and other stuff that I could yet to even know the terminology. But there's one phrase that they use. Said, well, we want to make sure that we give a good user experience. I'm like, well, what does that mean? Said, well, if you have two phones, which one do you want? I want the one that's the easiest to use. There you go. What if it's not as good as the other one? You were listening to me. You were there, standing behind me in line. Yeah, I want the user experience. How do you get a good user experience with God? Now, I loosely just put some stuff together and I failed to tell you. I led you down a road. How do you end up with a good user experience? Know Him, have a good user experience with Him. And the passage says, by having a good user experience with others. Don't judge them. Know the ones that are dangerous and don't be them. Because there's a couple kinds of fruit. Stop evaluating so that you can judge. Evaluating so that you can course correct and others get a better user experience. Love that. Not everyone, verse 21, are you guys ready for Bummer Sunday? Here it comes. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Who again is speaking here? Okay, so I have this argument, discussion from time to time. People say, Scott, doesn't everybody get to go to heaven? Don't they all eventually get to go to heaven? I like the question. I like the sentiment. If you ask me the question, who do I want to be in heaven with? What's the easy answer?
Everybody.
Everyone, right? Yeah, who's speaking? Matthew is quoting Jesus, and Jesus just said, not all dogs go to heaven. Though symbolic, I do think all dogs probably go to heaven. It's just not all humans, right? Dogs are much easier than humans. I walked into a restaurant the other day. They had a big old sign out the front. Dogs, welcome. Humans, questionable. I was like, oh, there we go. We're going to put that up at church. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, what's the Lord, Lord thing? That's a claim, right? I have a title. I got fire insurance. I'm a Christian. I'm born again. I raised my hand, walked to the front, and Larry Vold asked me if I would accept Jesus as my personal Savior and Lord. Okay, did that all happen? Yeah, it did. No matter. No matter. Not all of them are going to enter the kingdom of heaven. I know Fernando longer than almost everybody. And we went to a church, and we were involved in a high school group, and we were involved in a college group. And then we got old. And we got married, and we had kids. And we met and knew so many people. And there's very few that I can count on two hands that are still following the Lord in the last 40 years. We both know that. So when I read the road is narrow and few are those that find it and it's hard, man, that makes sense to me. There's people that used to go to this church. That's sad. Unless they moved to Idaho, then I understand. But the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Bam, who gets in? Will. Will gets in. Now we got our answer. What are we asking for? What are we seeking? What are we knocking on? Will of the Father. Will of God. Priority of Jesus. On that day, many? Man, there's times where I dislike that word. Many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? We did mighty works. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Wow. That's my resume. I mean, minus the demons part. Not really sure I've ever done that one. I got a lot of works in the kingdom. I believe the phrase was, no matter. Man, I got to get to his will, and yet it sounds like it's not through works. Let's keep going, figure it out, because I got to know what to ask, seek, and knock on. Everyone then who hears these words of mine, what's the point of this whole 7:1 through, and maybe let's make the argument for the whole of the Sermon on the Mount, starting with chapter 5. Jesus has stuff to say. God has direction to give. Priority. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, and what? Yeah, what's a shorter way to start that? That starts with O and rhymes with bay. There we go. Everyone who hears these words of mine and obeys will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Ooh. Scott, do I hear the name of the church coming in? Yes, you do. So far, what's the one thing you know you want? In this sentence right here. W. Wise. I want to be the wise guy. Right? How do I be wise? Verse 25, let's find out about him. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Likewise, verse 26, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them or disobeys, okay, will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. I like the way a different translation says, and mighty was its fall. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. Jesus is teaching, and he ends with this parable. It is one of my favorites. It is where we get rock from Rock Bible Church. Okay. And I want us to look into it, because I think I alluded, we all want to be the wise person, right? Anybody enjoy being called foolish? No. When I do something foolish, I feel really bad. Right? Walking around the house. Looking for my phone. Oh, you mean the one in your hand? Right? I mocked my buddy mercilessly for one time when he did that. And I pointed out to him, I was like, Doug, you mean the phone that's in your hand? We were driving to Mexico in a van, right? And we laughed. We've given him a hard time for a couple few years now. And then just the other day, I thought to myself, I'm so glad Doug's not here, because I was walking around the house. I can't remember where I put my phone. Sadly, our relationship with the Lord can be like that. Regularly is, because apparently we're evil. Ooh, can we just, we'll stop saying that, right? It's just, that one hurts. So how do we be How would he be the wise man? Here's your verse at the top of your outline, verse 24, about being the wise man who hears the words, does them, and he builds his house on the rock. Storm comes and the house stands. That's what we want in our relationship with the Lord. Let's look into that. What's the first thing we want to take? Let's go back to the beginning of the passage which says, seek, ask, and knock. Four, and the formatting is a little different. I meant those two fill-ins to be two different answers right above below each other. I'm pretty sure one of them is supposed to be Porsche. Ask, seek, and knock for good Porsche. Great Porsche, right? Good kids. Okay, that's... I already have that, Lisa. Right? But in verse 7 and verse 11, it says good things and it says good gifts. Good twice. And it says things and gifts. I want to ask you, like, what determines good? I want to be healthy. I think God says so. You want to be healthy just to be healthy, just for a better experience so that you have less pain? Well, like, tell me a little more about that. Because it sounds like we're just doing works. There's something missing, I think. And that's why Jesus does a long teaching for you to get the gist, the nuance of what it means to seek, ask, and knock for good things or good gifts. You ask for good things and then he gives good gifts. So really we're talking to him. And I think that what we're getting at in this passage, what Matthew's making sure we hear because Jesus taught it to us, is that more important than what you ask for is who you're asking. And the pinnacle of all things that you could seek, rather than a thing, it'd be him. And we knock on a lot of things. We try to get through open. Oh, I'm waiting until the door opens on that one. What's the greatest thing you want to be led into? Relationship with the Lord, right? We get down to the end of the passage. It says, hey, look, those who do the will of my Father. Hey, Lord, I want your will for my kids. I want your will for this. I want your will for my thought, my feelings, my interactions with people. Lord, what do you want here? And then watch him give good gifts. I had to take note of it. It says, you know, you ask for something. Does he give you a serpent? Where's that most famous serpent word used? The very beginning. I have to believe that it's poignant that he says, hey, look, remember which side of the equation I'm on all the way to the beginning in Genesis. There's me side and there's serpent side. Never think that I do serpent side. I'm not here to get you, go after you, trick you, bait and switch. Is God's goal punishment? No. Does he use it? Yes, very well. What's the goal? Good. I'll give you good things because more important than the seek, ask, or knock, which are necessary, right? They're part of the equation. There's receive, and open, right? Receive, find, and open. That's what I want. Now, you want to find the things and get answers to and get open to your own pursuits? Where could that lead to? As we talked about that last week too. There's a way that seems right to a person and its end leads to death or destruction. So I got to make sure, what am I asking for? Well, Scott, you're kind of cheapening it. It says that we can ask for the desires of our heart. You're saying we just have to ask for the things that he wants. Okay. Are those different? Desires of your heart different than what's best for you, the good gift? Ever had where you had this thing you wanted and then you got it and then you learned that phrase, careful what you ask for, you just might get it, and then God saves you or takes you out of it or fixes it, whatever, and you realize, oh, he gave me the desire of my heart that I was yet to know, and that's really good. Now, he had to drag me through it by my face, but I needed that process. I think that's what he's getting at, and I think that's why he starts with, hey, work on you, stop judging others, right? Seek, ask, and knock for good things or good gifts. Number two, wise, if you want to be wise, push through the devil. That's right. And we could say evil again. We could even write it. You could put that below the line. This is the way is narrow. Right? Few are those that find it. And it's hard. It's so hard. It's another way of saying hard. Difficult. You have to push through the difficult. Well, you know, if God was good and he loved me, he would grease the skids. No. I mean, once in a while, he greases the skids. I think most of the time, he greases the pigs. Oh, you want to chase something? All right. Peter, Paul, Mary, come here. Watch this. We're going to let him chase that for a while. This can be funny. When he finally gets tired, maybe he'll talk to us. When I get to heaven, I want to ask some of them if they had conversations like that about me, because I just have this inkling that there have been times when I've been off and God was just waiting for me to go back to this, to asking, seeking, and knocking. Push through the difficult. Yeah, wise man. Remember, if we go back to that verse that's at the top of your outline, did he have to receive instruction? Did he have to listen to it? Did he have to go find a rock? Did he have to go build a house? Did he have to then weather a storm? Did he have to later inspect the house to make sure that it didn't fall, but could it fall later now? Was there work involved in that? Did any of that sound easy? No, it's difficult. God has never called us to easy. We're a professional, modern, Western culture. Good and bad, left and right. No. You're looking for easy and correct and whatever. How about you look for me? How about all of these things are just distractions? Light and momentary affliction. Things that get in the way, divert your path, expend your resources. I have a real problem with sometimes something's going on and somebody will say to me, oh, Scott, just pray about it. Let's just me and you right now. Does that ever bother you a little bit when Christians like, just pray about it? Does that anybody? Yeah. Right? Yeah. Right. I mean, come on. And yet it works. the part I dislike, maybe you dislike too, I want to solve it. Isn't there a drive-through for this? Push through the difficult. And watch this. Sometimes difficult is less hard than you thought it was going to be. In fact, it was almost nothing. Got to spend several days with one of the most beautiful girls in the world. If you happen to see... granddaughter, out at my son and daughter-in-law's house, and we were hanging out, and my son had to leave and be gone for quite a while, and he was geographically distant. And we went back to the place we were staying, and we're gonna go into the pool, nice and cold, because they have street signs that melt. I took a picture. I'll show it to you later. And all of us but daughter-in-law and granddaughter are back to the hotel. And everybody's down at the pool, and we're getting set up, and we're putting the towel and getting drinks, and I get the sun and the screen and the hat and an umbrella and a chair, and all. We're doing all this stuff. There's so much to do. The other three people with me, they're already in the pool, right? Some of you dudes, you'll get this. Actually, moms, you'll get this too. There's some times where, like, it's just you. You're on duty, and you're just working and getting this stuff. So I'm running around doing all this stuff, and I've yet to go into the pool. The human side of my flawed nature was starting to feel and think what?
Martha.
Yeah. How come they're in the pool? Why am I? I got to run over and get extra towels? What do you mean? I got to move the umbrella so that the stuff's in this other. What? Was that going on?
Oh, yeah.
Phone rings. Daughter-in-law is very upset, crying. Tire blew out on the freeway. She got a baby in the back. It's 106. She's trying to figure out how to get off the freeway and all this. And I'm like, no problem. I'm on my way. I know where you are. We had that GPS locating app thing on the phone. I was like, I'll be there in seconds. I, bam, bam, up to the room, get the keys, down to the car. I was driving the speed limit the whole time. And now what am I thinking? I didn't even get to get in the pool. Now I'm off to doing more work. No, I wasn't really thinking that. But what was my future starting to look like for me? I could figure out how to change a tire on a freeway in 106, full sun. I don't know where I am. I have no idea if they got a spare. How good's their jack? Is there a jack? Is my AAA mobile app updated to where I can actually sign in? How long is this going to take? Should I put her in my car? She go back? I'll stay and deal with the car. My head's spinning, right? I pull up and this truck's driving away. And she calls me. She doesn't realize I pulled up on her bumper. She calls me, hey, Scott. I'm like, hey, I'm here. I'm right behind you. She's like, no, it's totally fine. What do you mean? Fireman pulled over, pulled everything out, changed the tire. I'm back on the road. I'm looking. The donut's on the thing. And she's ready. She's got the lights. And she's got the, and she's ready to go. But that's amazing. We pull off, we get in this parking lot and park. I was like, all right, let's look and figure out what's going on. She's like, yeah, I don't know. I didn't have any cash. I couldn't tip him. This guy's like, no, this is what I do. I was like, wow. It's like, yeah, it was like a miracle. It took me 11 minutes to get to her. This guy set a new record for switching a tire. What was he like? I was like, he's like, she said, he's like 20-something. He was pretty good looking. I was like, did you tell her that you have a sister-in-law? I think if you're ever on the market again, find a fireman. Next thing you know, we're on the phone, find a tire shop. Like, oh, yeah, we could take you right now. Boom, bang, ding. Left it there. Next morning, boom, tire's fixed. We picked it up. I think I spent total in the tire shop maybe 11 minutes between my two different visits to drop it off and to pick it up. Bam, we're off. Now what am I thinking about the pool? I'm glad I never went in. I'd have been all wet. I would have had to change and da 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 and all that. And was it as bad as I thought? No, it's an amazing, hilarious story that I can use on a Sunday without permission. Amen. So we got to push through the difficult, because sometimes difficult will be less difficult than you think. And then sometimes there's a process, and who knows what the end of the road looks like. And how about we stop judging? If you go back to Matthew 7, 1, it says, judge not lest you be judged. It doesn't say who you're judging. We start calling things too difficult, too much. You start really questioning God. You're actually judging him. And I think last week I said, stop questioning God and start asking God questions. That's how we pray. That's how we push through the difficult. It's how we get to his will. Number three, good fruit. It says, beware the false prophets. How does a wise man deal with fruit? They become a fruit inspector. Now, are we going to pay attention to the fruit of others? Yes, we are. But whose fruit are we most meant to evaluate? Yeah. When fruit starts dropping from you, you should recognize it. Because there's good and there's bad. Recognize good fruit. How's good fruit determined? Who defines what good fruit is? Right, because remember, didn't it say, and it was rather than a question, a statement, how much more will your Father in heaven know how to give good gifts, good things? He apparently is the one who is the authority on what good looks like. And then lastly, I love this, and this is the crux of the whole thing. Give us our next set of fill-ins, sir. Take him at his word. Aren't those great options? Uh-oh, don't write. If I called them options. Have I ever tried to trick you? Every Sunday, it's like a game, right? Take him at his word would be awesome. I just want to take him. I had to get to the airport to get back here. Some guy took me to the airport. Are he and I close? I think I remember his name. Carlton. I doubt he remembers mine. How many riders did he have that day? Did we know each other? Rather than take him, how about you know him? Passage says, he who hears these words of mine and does them, obeys them. Not he who does my works. Know him at his word, rather than take him at his word. And here's the problem, because if you put underneath word, if you put works instead, all you got to do is change the D. This is the big mistake that we get, is you get a D in your Christianity. You got a D, right? Take the D. Because if you put K there instead and you become a work, then it's like, well, if I do this, if I go to church every Sunday, if I listen to every podcast and never miss a single one, I've tithed every week. You're getting back to that list, remember? Where you said, not everybody who comes to me and says, Lord, Lord, will blah, blah, blah. And then I'm going to say, go home. I never. It doesn't say I never worked with you. We never worked together. You never accomplished anything in my name. In fact, it says, no, actually you did works. You did accomplishments. In fact, depart from me, you workers. Oh, dang. I'm going to make your life easier today. I'm going to take something off your job description. You are no longer a worker. You're a willer. and a word-er. You know, he sang a song in the video, Camp Rock. I was taking it in and enjoying it like you all were. And they were singing a thing about walking with Jesus. Is that, how beautiful is that? How much work does that take? Am I doing a lot of work right now?
No.
Then what's the walking with Jesus? What's that about? It's about knowing him, connecting with him. Some of the greatest times I've had with my own father, with my own mother, with my children, with my wife, are when I'm just there observing their fruits. How are they acting? What are they doing? What are they working on? And instead of jumping in and doing it, because I can do it faster. I know tricks. I know some life hacks. I step back and just let them go. Watch how my dad talks to people and negotiates. Watch how my mom counsels. Watch how my wife empathizes. Watch how my kids do whatever it is that young people do. That's how I start to get to know them. You see, Jesus says, he says, you know, he who hears these words of mine. Not he who knows the law and has Leviticus memorized. Did we have any of those people in our human existence? We have. How'd they do? They got called some not very nice things by the Savior. You whitewashed tombs, you're all clean on the outside, but inside you're wicked, rotten. I was having a little fun. I was talking to, well, Jerry was talking to me. Actually, it might be Jeremy. I think maybe it's Jeremy. You guys know him as Jeremiah, chapter 9. We're going to shotgun through this and have some fun. Here, Jeremiah chapter 9 is a great chapter to read through in reference to what we're talking about today. Jerry's not happy. Because God's not happy. He's delivering a message to Israel and Judah. Judah's really in trouble. They might be in as much or more trouble because they've stepped away from God and they're doing their own thing. And God says, oh, you want to be out of a relationship? I'll believe you. And he says, this is what's going to happen and this is what has happened. I'm not going to read you the whole chapter. But I want to hit you the ones that have to do with this idea of knowing him at his word. Jeremiah 9:3. They bend their tongue like a bow. Falsehood and not truth has grown strong in the land, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they do not know me, declares the Lord. Now, see that little last three words? Declares the Lord. I want you to add that to the end of every sentence that you say from now on, okay? Where are we going? We're going to sushi, declares the Lord, right? No. There's only a few times in this whole chapter where that phrase is used. It's meant to cap that section. And it kind of gives you the final thought and said, this is the final thought, declares the Lord. We're going to sushi and that's it. Watch, you're going to see this a couple times, but what's the main point? They do not know me. Does it say anything about obedience?
No.
See, obedience doesn't earn you anything, but it does get you to understand and know him. Obedience is like the bottom level. It gets you to it's on the wrong side of the equation, the equal sign, right? If we're doing math together, you do all this stuff, and there's an equal sign. Works are over here, and the equal is knowing him. Right? I have to do that for Jean because she was a math teacher. Verse 6. Heaping oppression on oppression and deceit upon deceit, they refuse to declares the Lord. Right? Let's keep going. What's our next one? 13. And the Lord says, because they have forsaken my law that I set before them and have not obeyed my voice or walked in accord with it. You, Scott, you said it wasn't about law and obey. Yeah, it's not. Law and obey lead to voice. Hearing his voice. Not knowing his rules. Hear him. And then walk with what? The law? No, walk with the voice. If they have not obeyed my voice or walked in accord with my voice. I love that. Now I'm walking with a person rather than with a to-do list. And man, I didn't get it all done and she's coming home soon. I'm going to be in trouble. 20-something, 23, is it? Yeah. Thus says the Lord. That's the beginning of the section. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me. That I'm a Lord who practices mighty works? No. Steadfast love. You think about this. God identifies himself, rather than all the things that he's, I mean, he's a creator. Heaven and the earth, right? The whole universe. Before you were even born, I made you, and I know all this. There's sections like that. What does he spend most of his time talking about, though? Not what he's done, but who he is. What's he like? What do you care about? How important you are. He practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness, being good in the earth. For in these things I delight. You want to know what will is? Know his will. That's how we figure out what to ask, seek, and find. Do love, justice, and righteousness. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Right? Next one, 25 and 26. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will punish all those who are circumcised merely in the flesh. Ew. Egypt, Judah, Edom, sons of Ammon, Moab, Egyptians, Judahs, Edomites, Ammonites, Moabites, all who dwell in the desert, who cut the corners of their hair, for all these nations are uncircumcised. And all the house of Israel is uncircumcised in heart. Wait, we got to do two circumcisions now? Either one at birth, and we got to go in and we got to cut part of our heart out to symbolic. Circumcision was a sign of a covenant, a relationship. I care about you, you care about me. I bless you, you bless me from now on, no matter what. Never doubt me again. We're going to put a mark on you so that you remember never to doubt me again. He says, yeah, you know, these one sets of nations, they don't have a covenant. They don't have a relationship with me. And even the one that does have a covenant with me, it's just a procedure you do after birth 8 days later. It has no meaning anymore. Your relationship with me has no meaning anymore. You don't know me. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. I want us to see how this works. We're going to wrap up this last thing. Your verse at the top, verse 24 from Matthew 7, it says, and let me tell you what it's like. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them, like a wise man who built his house on the rock. You know, it's the exact same construction for the fool. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a fool who built his house on the sand, right? It's the exact same construction. And there's another sentence that follows it. And the rains came and the winds blew and the floods came and da, 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 and the one house stood and the other house fell mightily, right? Or greatly. There's a fun little way that that's constructed. So we're going to do grammar today. I'm going to leave you with a bad taste in your mouth. Here we go. Do we got this slide there, Denise? See, everybody hears, and then you got the top line is the ones who are wise, right? Does the word wise, builds a house on the rock, the storm comes, the house stood. You got the same construction on the bottom for the fool? Did they both hear?
Yes.
Did they both build houses?
Yes.
Oh. Did they both get a storm?
Yes.
Oh, so no special treatment for you Christians, okay? Everybody has difficulty. The sun rises and sets on the wicked, the same as the righteous. If we take those things that are common, the hearing of the word, the building of the house, and the storm, we take those out, we have a new construction. Bam. Bam. Apparently I'm not the Fonz. Remember that when he would walk up to the jukebox and be like, and the music would come off, or he'd hit it and the music would go off. I just want that to work once in my life. Now we got a new construction where you do his word. It's like when you build on a rock, that's what the wise people do, and that's how you're going to stand. And the same thing with the fool. Now, wise and fool are descriptors. So we're going to take those out. Stood and fell are results, differing results. We're going to take those out so that you know what rock and sand stand for. Ready? We got our new construction there. Wait, I didn't do the bam thing. Oh, okay. If you do his word, that's the rock. If you don't, you get nothing else. Oh, bam. If you... Uh-oh, I think... Oh, no, I did. You're experiencing my sand right now. If you don't do his word, it's sand. Rock Bible Church was named on the idea that we're here to hear his word and actually do it, to obey it, because that's how we stand. That's how we become wise. That's how we experience his will, maybe do some of his works, but ultimately it's how we know him. It's how we start to understand that we could boast that we understand him a little and we know him a little. Amen? Now you know what to ask, seek, and knock for. If this is interesting to you and you've never started a relationship with the Lord, I think this is one of the best equations in Scripture. One works, one doesn't. I think one of the best prayers you could say about salvation for his work, finished work on the cross for you, for solving sin, for proving his position, for his obedience to the Father himself, and so many other things. One of the greatest ways you can start your relationship with the Lord is to say, I just want to know you from this day forward. I want to know you as Savior and Lord. Come into my life. Fall on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. And let's go. If that's you, we want to help. If you're online, send us an email, info@rockbiblechurch.com. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this. Thank you for the fun of parables. Thank you would continue to walk us through the truths of what works and what doesn't. And through all of it, Lord, I pray that you would help us to know you. And so I pray, Lord, you would help us in our own self-evaluation. That truth would be statements we make rather than questions we ask. And then, Lord, help us weather the storms. We thank you for the offering we're about to receive. Trust you'll use it to help us help others know you more. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, that's how you're supposed to do it. Free? Free to understand and know him. May you understand and know him. Amen?
Amen.
Go with him.